Our second scripture is Psalm 146. Our theme through this Advent season is Let God's People Bow Down. And we are looking at four psalms in which God's people are portrayed as being bowed down in worship, in confession of sin, and this morning, bowed down by their sorrow and their suffering. Let us hear the word of God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Put not your trust in princes, in a son of man in whom there is no salvation. When his breath departs, he returns to the earth. On that very day, his plans perish. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the sojourners. He upholds the widow and the fatherless, but the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. The Lord will reign forever. Your God, O Zion, to all generations. Let us pray. Gracious God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Taylor Field, who is an inner city pastor in New York City, tells of a woman in his church whose name is Fresca. I don't know if she's named after the soft drink. That would be a cruel trick. But Fresca had had a rough life. In fact, when Field first came to know her, she was a drug addict and she was living on the streets of New York. But gradually, through his influence and particularly through the church that he served, Fresca was drawn in and was welcomed and was introduced to Jesus Christ. Her own account of this was that the people at this church are so gentle. They hold my hand, they pray with me, they joke with me and laugh with me, which sounds like a church doing exactly what Jesus wants us to do. And feels that step by step, like ice thawing on a sidewalk, Fresca began to warm up to the realization that God loved her, even in the life she had led. That God loved her. And step by step, says Field, Fresca became a new person. Over the course of several months, she entered into rehab and left her addiction behind. And she got back in touch with her family. And she accepted Jesus Christ as her Savior and as her Lord. But the story he tells is about something that happened somewhat later. It was a Sunday after church, and Fresca was in the basement, in the restroom, in the basement of the church. And the sexton didn't know she was there. He unknowingly turned out the lights and locked the door. And Fresca stepped out of the restroom into complete darkness and started panicking. She screamed, but clearly no one could hear her. And she said it was as if in an instant all the old nightmares of life on the street had come crashing back, that she was trapped again and couldn't find a way out. And she started trying to feel her way along the wall in the darkness, but she banged her head into a pipe and tripped over some boxes and finally managed to get hold of that panic. And she said to herself, all right, I am trapped. I can't see and I can find no way out. So I'm going to pray. And she got down on her knees there in the darkness. And no sooner had she bowed down on her knees in the darkness than she was able to see something she'd not been able to see while she was standing up. There was a thin sliver of light coming from beneath the door that led to the outside. And on her knees, she crawled towards the light and found the door and was free. And later, as she recounted that story to the church, she said it had become for her a symbol of everything that had happened to her since she had first come to that church, since that church had, by its gentle love, led her to Jesus. In her life on the street, she said she had been lost, and she had been trapped in a darkness that she knew she couldn't escape on her own, but that just as on her knees in that basement, she'd been able to see the light that led to her freedom. So on her knees before Christ, she had been able to see that greater light, which had set her free from her old life. The light of God's love for her. The light of God's mercy upon her. The light of His power to raise her up and to overcome all that had been holding her down. Christ had come to her while she was bowed down with hopelessness. And He had lifted her up into a new hope, into a new peace, into a new life. Blessed is he whose help is in the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God. For the Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. My own story of how Jesus became my help and my hope is nowhere near as dramatic as that of Fresca. And I'm guessing that's probably true for most of us. Being Presbyterians, we have kind of boring stories usually, but true nonetheless. But one thing we all share in common with Fresca's story is that life, at one point or another, does indeed bring us all down to our knees. It bows us down in some sorrow or sadness or sickness or fear or loneliness or inadequacy or overwhelmingness or need or frustration or 101 other things. Life just does that sometimes. Bows us down, brings us to our knees. Simply because, first of all, we're sinners, and we, despite our best efforts, get a lot of life wrong to begin with. But maybe even more so, simply because we live in a world which is not the way God intended it to be. We live in a world that has fallen from God's plan and design, and it's just simply the truth that we are all, one way or another, broken people living in a broken world. And I know, especially people like us, we try to maintain the illusion that this is not so. That we are, in fact, large and in charge and impervious to the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune. But you and I both know that life always finds a way to invalidate that illusion. Life's messiness just keeps on finding a way in through the cracks in our defenses. And then there we are. And we're brought low. And we're weak. And we're afraid. And we're wounded. And we're on our knees. And of course, the ultimate illusion buster. At the end comes our dying. The ultimate loss of the illusion of control. So we too, like Fresca, are to be numbered among those who in this life find ourselves bowed down and in need of a Savior. But where should we turn to find one? The psalmist says, "Put not your trust in princes, in a son of man in whom there is no salvation." And I take that literally, but also symbolically. That not just princes, no human being, not even we ourselves can save us, but even more than that, that there's in fact nothing at all in this world that can save us. When it all falls in, nothing earthly we possess can put it back together again. I mean, we are taught almost from the cradle to trust that if we have money, we can protect ourselves. But what does money do for a broken heart? And we have been taught to put our trust in technology. But what does technology do when a hole has opened up in our souls? And we just scramble about, don't we? Like Fresca in the dark, grabbing hold of whatever we think will lift us up and out. But in the end, none of it works. None of it can truly lift us up from that sorrow, that suffering, that weakness, that fear. So where then do we turn when life has bowed us down? psalmist is pretty confident of the answer. Blessed is the one whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God. And why? Because the Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. You know, as we go through this life, I truly believe there are certain great truths that you only learn when you're down on your knees. And this, I think, is chief among them. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, because the Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. Which, when you think about it, is precisely what Christmas is all about. The Lord our God looked down from heaven and he saw our plight and he heard our cries and he answered our prayers. He saw that we were bowed down by life, by our sin, by our fear of death, and he didn't even wait for us to try to fix it ourselves. He knew we couldn't do it anyway. Instead, he came down to us. As we are, bowed down by life and by the fear of death, he came down. He humbled himself, says the scriptures, leaving his throne in heaven. And he came down to us and was born as a little child in a manger in Bethlehem. He came down to us who are bowed down by life. All so that he could become for us indeed our help. And our hope and our salvation. He came down to us in order to lift us up into his heaven. Mild he lays his glory by, says the familiar carol. Born that man no more may die. Born to raise the sons of earth. Born to give them second birth. He came down to us. We're bowed down by life and by the fear of death so that he might lift us up from our sins and sorrows into his all-powerful care. He came down to us who are bowed down so that his love would conquer every last bit of our loneliness and lostness. He came down to us who are bowed down so that his gift of a hope that does not fail would overcome our sadness. And our sickness and our despair. He came down to us who are bowed down so that life, his life, would forever conquer our death. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. And therefore, praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have being, because the good news of Christmas is that Jesus Christ has come down, that we should be now and forevermore lifted up by his love and by his life. Amen.